Hi there, folks. This is Tony. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. I'm coming to you from New Zealand. And with me on the show today, I have Andre from Spiritual Logic in Maryland, USA. Welcome back, Andre.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, man. Always a pleasure to expose the world to preach the name of Christ and join my brother in Christ as we, you know, just bring awareness to the deception.
And we always seem to have plenty to talk about, and you're always very good at explaining things that a lot of people don't otherwise see. And just off air, I was telling you how I think YouTube's messing around with my channel and different things and making things more difficult. And we know that there's an agenda to probably, well, not probably, but to keep channels like ours on the back burner so people don't find them and that type of thing. So, yeah.
The AI, the algorithms, the, you know, there's been long talk about this dead internet theory, I think a few years ago, where the internet is no longer the internet that first presented itself when it was free information and you could find information. Now with the algorithms and artificial intelligence, if you're going against the simulation, the political simulation, or you're exposing the true agenda of the world, the Agenda 2030s, the secret societies, the one world government, beast system, all of that, they don't want you to be out there. They don't want to bring awareness to what's really going on. They want to indoctrinate people to believe that they can still trust in the system, trust in corrupt puppet leaders and politicians who lie and deceive. And they, because they want people to look towards the government, the one world government, as the solution. And we're dismantling that. And that's the problem, you know?
Yeah, obviously they don't want people going against the narrative. And especially, I think, because things are brewing. I just get the feeling, I don't know about you, but that we're not far away from the next major event that they'll use to control us or lock us down and that type of thing. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, in the U.S., I don't know how it is around the world, but they you know, they're using the germ theory narrative to create their scandemics. Now, this time, they're talking about the Hanta virus situation. And as much as I tell people, your environment is toxic, your food is toxic, you're being radiated. There are many things that are causing symptoms, and yet people want to believe the world's narratives. You know, I mean, just in here in the U.S., they're spraying the skies nonstop. It is ridiculous. And people are just oblivious to looking with their God-given eyes what's actually happening. And somehow they don't make the connection that that's affecting them. The food right now is very, in the U.S., is very little real food. You have to really, you know, go to a local farm or a good farmer's market to get really, you know, food that's not corrupt or, you know, lab grown, because they're not going to always label it either. And then the things that in the U.S. they're allowed to put in the food is causing havoc in the body. And yet people are like, oh, it's got to be this because these government organizations and institutions said so. And I'm like, why are you trusting them? Why do people still don't get it? These people are lying to you. They're offering you a false narrative that is useful to them dismantling society, because every crisis, every chaotic, socially engineered event will bring the world closer to accepting the beast system infrastructure, where they're going to justify why we need more surveillance, more artificial intelligence, takeover, more digital ID to gatekeep. Because remember, in COVID 2020, right, while everybody was believing in the invisible enemy that doesn't exist and all this other stuff, they were laying up the infrastructure, right? They were putting up the cell towers. They were rolling out digital ID so that the next time they try to pull another stunt, now we have all of this smart technology and artificial intelligence and digital ID infrastructure in place. Just look at the airports. The airports around, especially in the U.S., are in total pandemonium. But what's happening right now? Now they're adjusting AI, you know, digital ID as a new way to streamline airport security. And then on top of the Hanta situation, we have the weather manipulation. It's been very unusual. And then we have the gas prices in the U.S. we're approaching $7. And I don't know what that transfer to the currency, but that's huge for my area. I mean, I think in California it might be $8 or $9, you know, a gallon. So, yeah, it's a lot going on.
I think we're actually going to head towards fuel shortages, actually, not just price increases. I don't think they're telling us the full story about where that's heading at the moment, that supplies are going to run dry if this doesn't change. And even if the war was to end and the Strait of Hormuz was to be opened quickly, all the infrastructure damage and the fact that so little has been transported around the world in recent times, it is going to bottleneck and there's going to be problems. And I think you'll see it in Europe first, probably within a month, and then it'll flow on. So whilst we, you know, are having price increases, and the prices have gone up here quite considerably in New Zealand as well, but I think it's going to translate not just to price increases but to actual shortages. And how we'll be affected in New Zealand at this point, I don't exactly know. But yet we have these reports, you know, you've got 51 days worth of diesel or something left in New Zealand and 60-something days worth of petrol or whatever it is. But the fact that they're even telling you that stuff, and I think a lot of other countries, like in Europe and so on, it's going to be way worse, way less than that. And then we've got no real resolution to this war situation as yet at all, and it's constantly this back and forward between Trump and Iran as to what's going to happen. And it's really going nowhere, it seems, at the moment. And, to be honest, I think one of the things that people need to do is prep to some degree at the moment as much as possible. Make sure you've got food and petrol and water and all those things. Enough to survive, and also
live minimalistically. You know, cut excessive spending on frivolous things, and you know, think about, you know, spending your money on, like you say, making sure you have enough food in case, you know, they create a lockdown for whatever reason. Just make sure you have enough water. Make sure that if you have the ability to store petrol, that you do that, or you know, just make sure you're self-sufficient and self-reliant in the case of a worst case scenario, because who knows what's going on. I mean, we know that they're trying to reset the entire system, and they're going to bring in this new system as a replacement, because they're going to know that, you know, they create a crisis and they already have the infrastructure to say, okay, this is how we get things quote unquote back to normal. And a lot of people are just so deluded with this politics and even the war. You gotta understand, these world leaders are in cahoots, you know, on their level. Now, on our level, we're always expendable. They'll blow up, they'll create the scenario, they'll put on a performance for our sake. And yeah, it's real. There's real collateral damage, there's real, you know, missiles and stuff going on our level, but on their level, this is just part of their game. This is what they're doing to drive in the one world government B system as the dominant system that's going to be promoted as peace and safety. They're tanking the economy. They don't want nobody to have the ability to afford anything. The cost of living is crazy. The cost of food is crazy. The cost of gas is crazy. They're creating, you know, there's not enough living wage jobs. People, yeah, you can have four jobs and still not be able to pay for a house. And that means you're taking time away from your family, you're working constantly, destroying your body, and they're putting everybody into this desperate, disenfranchised, destitute situation where if you don't have faith in Christ to see the spiritual warfare, and this is why people don't understand, having a biblical family has always been the infrastructure and the insulation against this. I mean, we weren't designed to be individuals in this evil world trying to having one job, depending on, no, you're supposed to be a family unit in Christ where we love and support and serve one another, and we all work as a unit so that we're less dependent on whatever the government institutions, agencies, and are doing. We're less dependent on their ability to grow food. I mean, if you think about the Industrial Revolution and all the things they did, the purpose of that was not to make life more efficient. It was to destroy the connections like a biblical family, you know, which was vital to, you know, Christ being preached and passed along generationally. Now that's been replaced by secular nonsense and political propaganda where people are not trusting in God, they're trusting in government. And with the problem, when you trust in government, you actually start to believe their lies. You start to think that they have your back, that they care about you, that they're telling the truth, that their stats are real, that their simulations are real. And now you have abandoned your faith, which allowed you to, you know, look to having a biblical family, walking in the spirit, according to the word of God, and just not trusting the world, not conforming to the transhumanist, AI-driven ways of the world. I mean, I don't know if you heard it, but the data centers are exploding in the U.S. in every major city right now. And yes, there are people who are trying to, quote-unquote, revolt, at least in appearances. But the problem is people waited too long. The revolt should have been when the 2020 situation happened, when, you know, you were demanded to roll up your sleeves to keep your job. That's when people should have had some kind of resistance. But now they let things snowball so bad. You know, we tried to warn people. You know, our channels, we talked about our channels. Our channels have been throttled because we wanted to bring awareness to the lies and deceptions. And yet people have missed a window, a vital window, at least on a collective level, to start coming out of the system. And now it's progressed so far and so fast that now we have to think individually in our own families just to survive, you know?
You mentioned food. So there's a couple of things you mentioned there. See, in New Zealand, we've always been pretty, not fully self-sufficient with food, but pretty well down that track. Just in recent times, a lot of the food production here has been ceasing so that they're bringing it in from overseas. We have Watties, for example. We've canned peaches here, or you'd call it bottling or canning, you know. And we did it all here. Now they've ripped out all the peach trees and stopped growing and processing them here. This is all in the last year or so, year or 2 years. Now the latest one is McCain with the peas, frozen peas, you know, processing them, and that's all gone. So instead of the farmers producing peas and then them making frozen peas here, they're going to import all that from overseas again, because what's happening is they don't want these small firms and smaller companies and so on having independence. It's all going under these big conglomerates that they can control. Yeah. And now our food in New Zealand, I've got to say, having spent time in America and spent time, you know, a lot in New Zealand, the food overall in New Zealand is better. I got to say it. There's less chemicals. It's just better food by and large. But now I'm watching that changing even here in New Zealand, and I don't like it. So that's, you know, part of their control. The second thing you mentioned is the data centers. Now, I just came across an article yesterday or the day before where they're talking about Atlanta, Georgia, and there's massive data center there which is using incredible amounts of water for this data center in an area which is struggling, and people have been told over the last year or so to conserve water for themselves, their public, you know, their private use of water, while this data center is consuming all the water. I mean, this is the crazy way it's become.
Yeah, and also Florida has insane, the South right now in the U.S. has had a massive drought.
Yeah.
Massive drought, which is not normal. In Florida right now, in the Everglades, which are normally lush, they have massive fires going on. They have massive droughts. And now the data centers are drying up all the rivers. Mm-hmm. And that destroys farming as well, because how much irrigation comes from these rivers. See, people don't make the connections. People are not making the connections that the water, the weather, the rain controls our food supply. And now that the data centers are here, and what they're doing is they're using massive amounts of energy to make everything run on AI. AI is not no free thing. It requires massive amounts of energy which produces heat, which requires like a persistent flow of water to cool it down. It's almost like nuclear, but without the nuclear, because, and I put nuclear in quotations, but they have to constantly cool these mainframes down because they're processing so much information. They literally heat up just like those carbon rods they claim in nuclear reactors. They're constantly heating up and they have to be constantly cooled, or like they're, you know, it'll be a meltdown. And it's crazy because no one ever asked for a data center. Nobody ever asked that we needed everything ran by AI. Who's asking for this stuff? Like for the people who believe in the political propaganda, who's asking for this stuff? People don't want property taxes. Who voted for that? Because I tell people about the selection process. People still want to go every 4 years in the U.S. and bow down at the altar of the voting booth and pray to the God of the world, you know, but no one asked for any of this stuff. It's being promoted through crisis, through the sabotage and social engineering and the demolition of this corrupt economy to bring in the even worse economy, where they're just easing it in. Every time they use a crisis to destroy one part of infrastructure where it needed people, like the farming industry, now we have corporate farming. We have corporations now running the food industry where they're producing more lab-grown food and using technology to make food that's not real food. So now Bill Gates has bought up all the farmland, and what do you think he's going to do? He's using lab-grown technology, CRISPR technology to grow all this stuff that's going to create havoc in the body. They're going to put all the GMO, all the steroids, all the hormones, all the injections in the food. They're going to do God knows what to the body, and yet people are consuming this. They have no awareness for the fact that this is not how God designed us to live. God gave us trees, they grew fruit, and he taught us, you know, we know how to grow food. And now people are just becoming so deep into cognitive dissonance, they're just trusting in corporations who make drugs to now produce food. And then we can see the effects and the symptoms that are coming around, and now they can just create any terminology and just call it whatever big pharma institutional name they want to create. Like the Hansa, I was told, is Hebrew for like a deception or something like that. So, you know, everything is some big deception. They're just destroying each facet of society, of the world, to draw in the beast system. And I mean, we see what politics has done. Now politics have got people trusting in puppet leaders and believing that change comes not from, you know, you being in Christ and you having a family and being aware of what you can do in your life, but now just waiting on the government to do something. So everybody's waiting for the government. And what is the government doing? Project Stargate, the Genesis mission, you know, digital ID, panoptic surveillance, putting cameras everywhere to record your data. Now you're getting ticketed. Like, and you know, I travel through DC often, Washington DC, the capital, the satanic capital of the world. And they have cameras where if you don't know DC, one day in DC can rack you up $1,000 worth of tickets. They have that many cameras, hitting stop sign cameras, red light cameras, camera speed cameras. And when I say speed, I mean like 20 miles per hour, like a ridiculously slow speed. It's designed to just get money out of people. They want to bankrupt you. They want to make everybody so broke. Because they, when they bring in the blockchain and CBDC and centralized stablecoin, it's going to attach the digital ID, and the social credit is going to be the new economy. So they're going to look at what you're doing in life and say, okay, you don't have enough credits to own a house. You don't have enough credits to drive a car. You don't have enough credits to do anything. And so you're going to be an outcast. You know, it's really dystopian.
So what I can see potentially happening, well, for a start, in New Zealand, we should have been pretty energy independent here. We've got plenty of rivers and things for making our own electricity through hydro generation, and we do that. But in terms of gas and oil, we also had that, and we had a refinery in New Zealand, and they shut that refinery down at Marsden Point when Jacinda Ardern was Prime Minister, poured concrete down the shafts and cut all the cables off at ground level. Wow. So that the whole thing could not be resurrected. So now at a time like this, we should have been going, oh, well, we don't matter about the Strait of Hormuz because we can do it all here. But no, they don't want that. They don't want countries independent of the system. And so we, of course, are dependent on the rest of the world now for our energy. And what I can see happening when I mentioned earlier about this oil crisis, I can see down the track, it may not be that far down the track even, them coming out and saying, right, we've got a crisis from the amount of oil and diesel and petrol and so on. So we're going to now have it so that unless you have essential travel, you can't travel, or you can only travel in a certain small distance, like their 15-minute cities thing or whatever. And only essential travel, you know, vehicle supplying supermarkets or whatever, because we need them to have the diesel, the amount, or that the only diesel that there is, and so on. And I can see something like this happening in the not too distant future. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but as part of the way they're going to control people, I don't think they want us all running around all over the place. No, you know, they did in COVID, they did the lockdowns. They'll just need another excuse for one.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. They've been talking about getting rid of gas cars, and Trump acted like he's going to stop it. But now they're going to use the gas prices as a means to price people, to make people not even afford to drive.
Yeah,
I mean, if they keep rising the gas prices, I mean, you won't be able to afford to drive. Who can spend $200-$300, you know, to fill up their gas tank when you're already paying $1,000 a week and more for food, and then even more for rent, mortgage, taxes, and everything else. Like, just we're putting so much money for nothing, because honestly, you don't really own anything. Like, even if you have your house paid for in U.S., the taxes are rising rapidly, where you're paying an astronomical amount of money for taxes, where even if you own your house outright, the government can put a tax sale on your house for not paying your taxes and just snatch your house away. And a lot of people are losing their home because they can't keep up with property taxes and insurance rates and all this other stuff. And for those who have mortgage, they just can't keep up. So the government is finding ways to snatch money away from people. The energy crisis is just, you know, that's engineered, because the 15 minutes smart city concept is the new concept. You know, we all the fires and floods and to get people out of rural areas, they're just large displacement of people to these cities, because they're moving all the jobs to cities. They know where the jobs go, the people go, right? And we're using weather modification to destroy the rural areas. You even said in New Zealand, y'all had a lot of cyclones recently. And that causes devastating flooding. And what happens is, most people don't have the means to rebuild. And, you know, if you have a total loss, you have to move and find somewhere cheaper to live. And people have invested their whole lives into having a home, even a meager, quaint home. And now they're using weather to destroy that. In the U.S., we've had unusual hail storms. When I say unusual, like large hail damaging roofs, cars on a large scale. People have hail chunks breaking through their house and just destroying massive amounts of windows and car windows, just an enormous amount of loss that most people don't have extra money to deal with that. And so they're just finding ways. And then the 15-minute smart cities, they're building these apartments and condos that are really small, like prison cells, but they got a gym in the basement. They got a grocery store in the basement. And they put these little bikes everywhere where people can ride their bike. They don't want people driving. And they're purposely making the traffic bad. Like in my area, they're purposely doing road work on peak hours. And it's not really road work. They're just putting equipment there. And they're putting these little signs, making the traffic at a standstill, so that it takes hours just to get somewhere where it used to take 30, 45 minutes. So they're really trying to stress people out to find ulterior means to travel other than that. And you would think that with Trump under the COVID 2020, he created and did the remote work. You know, Biden wanted everybody in the house, so Biden did the remote thing. Trump made everybody go back to work. You know, so people, there's some people who moved to a different state because they were doing remote for 3 to 5 years. And then overnight, Trump said everybody back to work. They had people had to catch a plane to go to work every day because they had moved to a different state and they couldn't lose their job. And or they had to live in a motel like a week and then go home on the weekends, because this world is just getting that stressful. And now they're trying to say, well, we don't want people to drive. And now they're talking about some, in some situations, more remote work. And so it's just the back and forth. It's like they're just doing whatever to just destroy people's livelihoods so that the government comes out the hero and say, hey, this will solve your problems. It's like in China. If you're a good little boy and do all you're told, your social credit score will be good. We'll subsidize your housing. The government will pay for your house. You just get your jabs and you scan your ID and do what you're told. The government will subsidize your housing. They'll give you you won't need a car. So everything will be in 15 minutes. And that's where the world is headed towards right now, where the government is going to create this universal basic income using CBDC, and it's going to be attached to your digital ID. And if you do what the government tells you, then you will have a little prison cell to live in. And people think that's far-fetched, but that's exactly where the world's headed, you know?
Well, you've got robots and AI taking over jobs. What were once jobs that people did, you know, they needed people to fulfill those jobs. Less and less of them are needing people now as they are automating everything and making these fancy robots, you know, and AI-driven for people that are doing online things and security and various other things. It's all, oh, no, it's much faster for AI to do it. And it's much more efficient and cheaper for the conglomerates to use a robot to do the job instead of having to pay somebody and give them a lunch break and all that, because a robot doesn't need a lunch break. And and so there's less and less actual jobs. And if you're a young person today, you know, just coming out of school or something, the prospects of finding work, whatever you're trained in, are not looking very good.
No, terrible. I mean, it's absolutely terrible. It's like the movies, the old movies where the workforce was just a federation. It was like the military was the workforce for everybody. Everybody became a member of the federation. And like these movies of the future, which I think are predictive programming, is like everybody joins this federation where you're an employee of the government. And what you do is you do whatever the government tells you to do. And everybody literally does the same thing. And if you are stepping out of line, you get cut off and you're criminalized. And that's where it's moving towards, because the homelessness crisis, I don't know how, I mean, I know it's bad around the world, but in the U.S. it's unbelievable. I mean, it's heartbreaking to see so many people. At first it used to be, well, people, you know, a lot of people just didn't, you know, it was always a homeless crisis, but it was nothing like it is now. And now Trump made it pretty much illegal to be homeless, where you can be snatched off the streets, institutionalized, or thrown in jail, because they're privatizing everything. You can't just sit anywhere. Now you have to keep moving if you're homeless. You can't just find a place to sleep. It's really evil. And who knows, it's long been told that there's been picking people off the street, and they got organ harvesting programs and all this stuff that's going on that people don't want to talk about. And it's really showing how satanic this world is and how it's always been this way. And what I tell people, the reason that people are oblivious, because without our faith in Christ, we were just as wicked and corrupt as the world. So we didn't see the conflict. But as we came to Christ and as we regenerated with a new mind, a new heart that seeks to please God, we're starting to see just how wayward and evil the world is, because we are being changed, because we're now living for God and not the world. And now God's opening our eyes to see was really always been the case. And that's why I tell people the world has always been the world. It's just that we were dead in our trespasses, aligned with the world, and now we're made alive in Christ. And now we're starting to see exactly what's going on. We're seeing the politics for what it is. We're seeing the true agenda of automation, and it's to make everybody a slave of the system. And a lot of people are complaining, but this has always been the goal. I mean, it's not even new. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the 1920s, you know, they created the Great Depression was an engineered event to bring in the social security card, right? People didn't realize it. It's like, oh, they gave people social security card because everybody was so poor, you can use it to get food. But who would have thought that this social security card would become this necessary attachment to digitize your identity? And that was in 1920. And then you can get the birth certificate. You know, people don't realize the birth certificate is for you as a child to be property of the state. Your children are signing their children over to the state to have to be in line with new state legislation. That's why you have to fight to protect your children from whatever inoculations that they require of your children, because you basically sign them over at birth. But we weren't told this. We're just told you have to do this. You have to sign the birth certificate. You got to get a social security card. But all you're doing is making yourself a cog in the wheel, you know, and that's why now we're starting to see the level of entrapment that we were all deceived into. And that all plays a role into the politics and people thinking that they have to go and vote for a leader who lies and offers them lip service, pretends like they care about their interests. But the leaders are slaves of corporations and secret societies doing the dirty work to keep people trusting in an untrustworthy system. That's why I tell people, anybody at this state, and I get it, but anybody in this state still trusting in politics, you're part of the problem. You're the reason that this is accelerating, because you're the people begging, like, hey, there are a lot of people begging for the government to do more. But when the government does more, they're going to offer deception. Like, who would have thought that this crisis that people believed in led to this transhumanist AI revolution? And of course, it's going to do that. And now we're closer to the beast system than ever. And they use a fabricated scenario to bring people to this point.
And it's crazy, you mentioned entrapment and talking politics. Well, I'm looking at, we had the Epstein files come out. You know, that was all big news for a while. Right. But what's happened to it? It's gone. First, we had the war. Right, so that you have this war to distract people. And then the latest one is the UFO disclosures, which is a great distraction. So nobody gets prosecuted out of that whole Epstein scenario, because it's probably a lot of collusion between secret societies who run the institutions like CIA and FBI and Mossad and MI6 and all of these other outfits. And so if the corruption is that deep and the people with the big power and the big money are part of that corruption in a ring of pedophiles and so on, and satanic ritual abuse and so forth, they don't want all that coming out. And these people's names being, you know, bandied around forever as pedophiles and satanic, you know, Luciferians and so forth. So the latest thing is, right, let's move on from the Epstein files. That's a nothing burger. I mean, Trump was trying to say it was a nothing burger for ages. So now we've got this UFO disclosure stuff. And so everyone's looking at this. And so far, all we've seen is a bunch of hazy images and so on that really, a lot of them we'd already seen, and videos and things, and nothing's really conclusive in them. It's the same old blurry stuff, but it's got people distracted again. So that the governments can keep on doing whatever they want to do, rolling out this AI and digital infrastructure and data centers and all that, and they can distract people with these disclosures and things which are really not actually life-changing anything at this point. Now, I do believe there will be, at some point, the UFO disclosure thing will be taken further and used as a great deception to tell us that aliens fathered us here and so on. And it's a slow rollout to that point. But meanwhile, the people that were perpetrators with Epstein, you know, it's all gone. Nobody's prosecuted. Yeah. It's disappeared.
You know, they used the Epstein files to offer this illusion that the government was seeking justice. Because everybody, they actually thought that they were going to crack down, they were going to bring the hammer down. And then once these files were allegedly presented, they were all redacted, blocked out.
Yeah.
And then people was like, okay. And then Trump was like, everything in there is fake. And he used the fake Justice Department to say, well, the stuff is not true. So now it doesn't really mean anything for them to show anything, because they'll just simply say, well, it was a lie. It's not real. So now, think about how they did this. They made it a big deal. The Epstein files, they got Clinton, Trump, all these people, all Hollywood politicians, all these people in one place, going to one island, doing all these things. They claim they have videos and pictures and times and dates and situations. And now they even leaked some of it, right? Yeah. And now, oh, that's all fake. Trump is like, that's fake news. So all he has to do is say it's fake news. And all the indoctrinated political people just believe it. And they just move on. And let me tell you, social media is part of the problem, because people are not really trying to expose things. They're just trying to ride a wave. Most people just want to ride a wave of the next trending story. They don't really care if it's true or not. They just want to monetize it, you know, get a lot of money off of it, and then move on. It's not bringing awareness. They're not doing it to bring awareness, to say, hey, you know what? Y'all need to come out this left-right paradigm, political nonsense, trust in these puppet leaders, and put your trust in Christ. And build a biblical family unit and start being self-sufficient in many ways, and, you know, be less dependent on government, anything. But that's the opposite. They want people to say, well, the government is the one who is going to seek out justice. The government, the UFO thing, right? There's always been a large hysterical sector of people on the internet who believes in that stuff, right? And so it's another sensational, suspenseful thing, you know, the government's about to unleash. And now, I mean, like you say, it's nothing new. And we all know that it's really demonic entities that's running around here. Nothing, no alien and all this stuff. But it's really anti-God, because when they promote aliens, they're saying, well, it's not God, it's not real. It's really aliens. So it's really an antichrist agenda, along with a distraction. Because now all the atheists and agnostics, see, I knew there was no such thing as God. Look, they're talking about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And so now if people who are already lost, rejecting God, believe in aliens, within any kind of deception, they'll believe. You know, the Project Blue Beam or whatever, they'll believe. And they'll think, well, this must be who made us. I mean, like you said, it's setting it up for some kind of really bad deception. And I mean, the deception is already pretty bad now. When you look at the spiritual state of people right now, the oblivious nature, people rather dance on the internet and realize the grave situation that society is in right now. And, you know, it is what it is. That's why we do what we do. We understand that you know, the powers that shouldn't be don't want our voices to be heard, but glory to God. God is amplifying our voices, that the people who are seeking God will find our voice. The people who are have a conscience that still works are seeking us out, because they know something's wrong with what they're being told. I mean, you would think that, you know, COVID 2020 duped the majority of the world, got everybody. And then they pull these files out and say, oh, it's not doing what it said it was doing. And the injections are not what you've been told. And you would think people would have got the memo. The government is lying to you on a large scale. People just forgot about that and went right back to the voting booth. And it just goes to show you that there's a spiritual blindness and deadness in people right now, that because they're not in Christ, because they're not regenerated, that all they believe is lies. And they're just looking for the next lie to validate their existence. Like, tell me that the government is the one who can fix our problems. Tell me that the government is the ones who are going to get all the evil people out of the world. And so they gave you the Epstein nothing burger. They gave you the UFO disclosure because it gives the government this credibility that they're actually trying to expose something. When the government is the one who is actually, and it's a world government now, it's not sovereign nations don't exist. You know, it's a world government that's pretending like it's sovereign nations because they want you to think that your leader actually has influence, is not just a puppet of the larger paradigm. They don't want you to think that, because when you realize that the one world government already controls everything, you'll understand Agenda 2030. Your understanding with all the crisis and economic collapse are moving towards a one world system, a new world system with a new monetary system, digital monetary system, digital ID control grid, Palantir technology, Project Gotham, Project whatever, to put this AI infrastructure where they're bringing the world to a whole new paradigm.
And you mentioned the spiritual blindness and so on. I mean, you've got religious leaders, supposed Christians or whatever, endorsing Trump's new golden statue of himself. You know, it's like, come on, this is a golden calf. And then I'm thinking back to 2016, you remember, it was like Trump, you know, crooked Hillary. We've got to dismantle the Clinton cartel, lock her up. Then Trump gets into power and it's like, oh, the Clintons are really good people, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, couldn't people realize then? Or, you know, Soros, we've got to get rid of the Soros empire. Well, it's still there just as much as ever was, except probably now it's run by Alex Soros rather than George. But,
yes,
you know, it's still there. None of the stuff that Trump was before 2016 saying he was going to dismantle, was going to get rid of the deep state. And what have we got? We've got a deeper state now than ever it was. And so this is it. And it's the same, you know, under Biden or whatever else. It's just moving in the same direction. And then just weaponizing things, the justice system under Biden against Trump supposedly. So it's like, oh my gosh, we've got to stop this because Joe Biden's terrible and he's doing these terrible things, which they were terrible things. But it's all part of the agenda. So now we have to overthrow all that, and then you bring Trump in with his golden statue. It's the same playbook. It's two heads of the same double-headed phoenix. You know, it's two wings on the same bird. It's like we've got to realize there is no government that is independent of the control of ultimately Satan. And then the moving towards this one world government. Doesn't matter if it's a left wing government or a right wing government. And then they'll people will demonstrate, like in the UK or something, we've got to get rid of this terrible, you know, system and this terrible politician and so on. And then, so we get rid of them. And it's like the same momentum will still carry on. It'll just keep people satisfied for a little while till they realize they've been duped. And then they start going after the next, you know, politician, next wave of the thing. If they've just got rid of a leftist one, so then they'll have to go after the right-wing ones because they're really bad. Then the right-wing ones get taken out. Right, we've got to go back to a leftist one. People have to realize they're just being played the whole way. So it's probably enough of that negative stuff. We could keep going on and on. But Andre, what do we do, you know? Because we've got to have some sort of a plan of action, you know, individually and maybe collectively. And I think small groups and finding like-minded people for some sort of community is a big part of what is the answer.
Right. Well, I would say first, we have to realize this is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And if your heart is not right with God, then you're going to already only believe the world. You're going to trust the world. You're going to be exploited by your fleshly desires, your carnal ambitions. And that's why a lot of people trust for this worldly identity, for the wealth, the status that you get from going along with the world. So the first thing we need to do, people, is you need to heed your conscience and realize the world only exploits the lost, and that you are lost without God. And then you seek him to be saved and regenerated. And then you can appreciate living according to God's will, where you understand the benefit of having a biblical family that you use, you know, that supports, where you support each other, and you start being more self-sufficient. Like you say, smaller groups can build, smaller families can build communities. And you have biblical families who build biblical communities, para-economies. I was telling people the other day on my channel, Spiritual Logic for Truth or Following Christ Forever, that you could, there's an economy in this current state. Like, there are people looking for natural products. There are people looking for natural food. There's so much corruption that there's a market for people who are creative enough to create new products that people are looking for. You're tired of using the fake deodorant. There are people who make natural deodorant. You're tired of people who, you know, people making natural oils, or there are people, there's a market right now because people are seeing that the food supply is so messed up. People have so many symptoms from so much just environmental issues and food issues and all this, that, you know, if you grow your own food, that's something to sell or barter. If you make your own products, you know, you're tired of clothes being sprayed with chemicals. But I know people who are making their own clothes. It's not as hard as you think. You know, you just learn a skill and you learn how to market it. And there's a market for people looking for these things. And then we have to help each other out. Like, I know people who built homeschool communities for people who want to bring their children out the system. A bunch of parents got together, created homeschool communities for their kids outside the system. Stuff like that is what you do. You don't go into the corruption. You come out of it and you live for Christ outside of it. And you find out that you can find like-minded people in Christ who understand what the world is doing, where it's going, and you can help each other, serve one another. Use your skills. I use my skills, and we all bring our skills together to create new markets, new jobs, new services, new resources. And let me tell you, there are going to be a lot of lost people who are not going to like this, but there are more and more people who are looking for things that are not corrupt. Because there are a lot of people who have come out of their slumber and they're saying, okay, so what do we do? I see what's going on. What do we do? And then these people say, well, I make this. And, you know, I have a health channel. And I've told people what I've done, you know, and tried out on myself and the results that I've had overcoming many things that, you know, that a lot of people suffer with. And of course, on YouTube, you have to give your own anecdotal. You can't say, you know, I'm not a medical professional. This is not medical advice, but I just tell people what I've done and what I do and how it's worked for me. And there are things that people are looking for, people in all kinds of situations, symptoms, pain. And, you know, I just tell people what I do. And the reason that I do all these things is because Christ has regenerated my mind and my heart. And I don't believe the worldly institutions, the big pharmacia and all this other stuff. You know, I realized that, and I'm not telling nobody not to go get their bone. If you break a bone, you can't go to the hospital to mend a bone or have a cut. But there's practical things. But you got to have awareness and discernment of what's a practical thing and what's being caused by the system to turn you into merchandise, to make money off of your pain. So you have to know the difference, you know?
So in New Zealand, pretty much most small towns have got health shops and little organic outlets and things like that still, exactly. Which is good. But it's pretty expensive, a lot of the products, unfortunately. But Here we're... It's probably easier to find that stuff than it is generally in America here, I think, still in New Zealand. But they find ways to regulate all these things too. So, and that's it. The more people do, communities or government will try and find ways to regulate it, no doubt. But but we've still got to do it. We've still got to do what we can. And obviously put our trust in God first and foremost and seek Him for, as individuals, what we are to do. And it is definitely, you know, a challenge to live in these days. But in a way, it's a good challenge too, to find ways to do things differently. And it can be quite satisfying. And, You know, just going back to some of the old ways of doing things and not being caught up with having to have the latest, newest everything, which they try and trap you into. You know, it's very difficult, even with the internet and browsers and computers and phones, and it's like you haven't got the latest thing, so you can't do this, that, and the other thing.
That's so expensive, yeah.
So they're trying to trap us in there. But we have to do what we can. And I think small communities are a good way to go as much as possible if you can find like-minded people and try and do things as naturally as possible, as you say, as well. But ultimately, faith in Christ is our, you know, that's our anchor or the rock from which everything else should be based. Without that, it's futile.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, just, you know, the Lord gives us wisdom and discernment because we are now regenerated to receive it. And he kind of guides us along through his word. We can live, share things, and we can do things to help and support each other. And in fact, we just have a loving nature in Christ. That's a big thing. We have a loving nature to care about each other. In the world, the love is growing cold. People only care about themselves. People only want to enrich themselves. But in Christ, we start to think about loving each other. How can we serve and care for one another? And that's where, you know, things start happening. Communities and families thrive when God's love is present, you know?
Okay, so Andre, we might as well look to wrap up here. We've covered quite a bit. So where do people find you? You've mentioned your channel a few times. So where is it that people can actually find you online?
Sure. On YouTube, Spiritual Logic for Truth. Just type it in there. It'll pop up. I have a backup channel, Following Christ Forever. You'll see the logos. I have all this on my main channel. If you go on one of my channels, you can find my other channels on there. I have a health channel, Spiritual Logic Wellness channel. I have a Telegram, Spiritual Logic. You just put in that on Telegram. I have a Rumble, Spiritual Logic on Rumble. I have an Odyssey, Spiritual Logic for Truth. So I have all my links on my channels in the description box on the main channel pages and pretty easy to find. That's where you can find me. I'm always there posting. You know, I'm kind of busy, but I'll be getting, you know, I still get it done.
Well, that sounds great. And people, please, you know, like and share this video as much as you can. It always helps our channel and we do appreciate it. So thanks, Andre, and we'll have to catch up again soon.
Definitely. Our pleasure to be here, Tony. Look forward to the next one.
Yeah, cheers, and I look forward to it too.
Cheers.
And folks, please make sure you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. And also, if you're able to support the channel with donations, that's always much appreciated. A thank you to the people that do help us, the small group that do. If anyone else wants to help by donating, you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com as well. And the music used, I've written, played and recorded. So God bless, and God willing, we will be back with another episode in a few days' time.